Good morning, everyone. It is with great joy that we are all here gathered today to give our God our very best in spirit and in truth. You are visiting us this morning. We are truly grateful with your presence, and we thank you for being here. We hope and pray that you will continue to be with us and continue to visit us as we together seek to study the Word of our God. If you will please open your Bibles to the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth, chapter 2. Ruth chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him, in whose sight I may find favor." And she said to her, "Go, my daughter." Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, "The Lord be with you." And they answered him, "The Lord bless you." Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, "It is a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." And she said, "Please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. Will you please bow with me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father and our beloved God, once more we come before Thy divine presence, Lord, grateful with Thee for the many blessings that Thou have given us. We are grateful, Father, for the opportunity that we have to once again listen to Thy word in the lips of this Thy servant. For this reason, Father, we ask that You be with me, that You grant me that ready recall, Lord, and grant me those words that will edify, Lord, that will help us, Lord, to seek always in accordance to Thy word that godly mate. That we may understand, Father, that indeed the godly design that Thou have provided us is to provide Thee with godly offspring so that we can always, Father, be able to shine brightly before men. Forgive us, Father, when we have not complied with Thy word. Forgive us when we have failed Thee. Please, Father, be with us as we pray this in the precious name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 weeks ago, we noticed how in the story of Ruth, we see the beautiful love story between a daughter-in-law and her mother-in-law. As we've been seeing, or as we've been studying the design that God has left us for the home, we were able to see through the example of Ruth and Naomi how the relationship between the in-laws is important to nourish in order to help us establish a solid home that remains godly. Now, as we come toward this final month of the first quarter, what we've been talking about, the godly mate, we now see this is beautiful example in the example of Ruth, in the reality that she was a stranger in the land of Jerusalem. We see how it is that she was a Moabite. She was a woman that was not from the Israelite nation. Now, many times I've heard, and indeed recently I've heard and been asked, "Well, brother, what if there is not a Christian young woman or a Christian young man with whom I am comparable with? Is it a sin or is it wrong to encounter a relationship with someone from the world?" And this is what I want us now to explore in this part of the scripture. Because what we see in Ruth is the example of someone who was a stranger or a foreigner from a land that God has separated from Himself. Remember that the book of Ruth comes to take place during the time of the judges. Many believe that Ruth took place during Gideon's place on the throne as a judge. And we see that very likely this took place once Israel had already conquered the promised land. And we see that Israel had already been told by God that they would be His special treasure. Now remember that in chapter 1, in verses 15 through 17, we see how that beautiful declaration on behalf of Ruth when she entreats her mother-in-law and the words that she utters that are very, very important to understand, where she says, "Your land shall be my land, your people shall be my people, but more importantly, your God shall be my God." Now, many times we read that part and we forget that this is a Moabite woman who is denouncing the gods of the people of Moab. Here is a woman who is denouncing the religious thought and the religious customs of her parents, her family, and her friends. And she is choosing to leave that behind to follow her mother-in-law, but also explaining how it is that through her mother-in-law's example, through her mother-in-law's actions, she has come to see that indeed the God of Israel is God. So we then do see, brethren, how it is that we have a pattern. And once again, God has provided us with an example of how we can find those possible potential people out in the world to become a faithful Christian and in turn become or transform into a godly mate. This is why we've titled our lesson this morning, A Beautiful Stranger. Because she was indeed a stranger in the land. But in verse 7, notice how it is that when Boaz returns, she catches his eye. Remember, brethren, that in the book of Deuteronomy, we see that there was a law that the poor were to be allowed to glean the fields. So it was very highly unlikely and highly improbable that Ruth was the only one who had made this request. Very likely that there were others there also gleaning after the reapers. And yet, here we see that Ruth catches the eye of Boaz. But we'll talk about more of that tonight. But notice how it is that Ruth, brethren, then provides us the precious traits that we should look for when we are talking about someone who is not yet a part of the church. Remember, when we talk about the fertile ground, the fertile heart, we are without a doubt alluding to the parable of the sower. We're talking about that ground which Jesus Christ spoke about, that when the seed fell upon that fertile ground, it produced fruit 100-fold. This is the traits that we find. As the sowers that we are, because we are Christians, because we are the ones who have been given the seed, which is the Bible, which is the Word of God, we must not ignore or forget that when our primary responsibility is to evangelize. It is to preach and spread the gospel. Well, this, brethren, is why this is becoming a double blessing. Because not only are we evangelizing a soul to belong to God, but then God in turn can also choose that person too, so that we can then be one with them. But there are certain traits that are already in that heart. There's already certain traits that already exist that lead us to see the possibility of the ground being fertile and giving us a very good fruit. Notice how first we see that she was docile and humble. Very different from the rest of her people in Moab. Please go with me there to Numbers chapter 25. Numbers chapter 25, beginning at verse 1, going into verse 3. Numbers chapter 25, beginning at verse 1, going into verse 3. Now Israel remained in Acacia Grove, and the people began to commit harlotry with the women of Moab. They invited the people to the sacrifices of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel was joined to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel. Notice once again how it is in verse 1 that we are told that the women of Moab were the ones who enticed the children of Israel. Notice how these women were not docile, nor were they humble. When we talk about a person that is docile, we mean a person who is willing and will allow to be taught and will be willing to listen. It is not a person who will fight you throughout the entire conversation. It is not a person who will try to impose upon you why they are right and you are wrong. It is not a person who is, as we usually say, stubborn, who will not be willing to see the truth because they want to hold on to some memory from their childhood. Notice how it is that Ruth was a different form of Moabite woman. Because here in Numbers 25, we see that these women were the ones doing the convincing. These women were the ones that were enticing the Israelites to go and take part in idolatry. Well, Moab, the Ruth from Moab was the one who told her mother-in-law, "Your God will be my God." Notice the flip side to what is happening here. Here in Numbers 25, 1 through 3, we see that the Moabite women are inviting the Israelites to worship their gods. Ruth, on the other hand, was willing to follow her mother-in-law. She was willing to listen to what her mother-in-law had to say, and she was willing to study and think on her own, not necessarily because it was the tradition of her parents. Here is where we see one of the great traits that is found in Ruth and those who are like her. There are people who are humbly seeking for God. People whose intentions of serving God are indeed genuine. Who, they, even though they are in error, they are doing it because they truly love God and want to serve God. But when that opportunity arises, their eyes are shown through Scripture how this is actually achieved. How this is actually done. And because they are docile, they are willing to listen. They are willing to learn, and they are ready to follow and serve God as He has commanded it. Did you notice how it is that in verse 1 and 2, even though they were poor, even though they were hungry, before she actually took action of going to glean because she knew that's what needed to happen, first she asks her mother-in-law to be allowed? Notice the docility. Notice the meekness in Ruth. She knew it needed to happen. She knew that if she did not go glean, they were going to be hungry. She knew that it was something that needed to happen immediately. She wasn't about to drag her feet. She wasn't about to wait until someone gave them a handoff. She knew that whatever needed to be done, it had to be done by her hands because her aging mother-in-law wouldn't have the strength. But yet, in spite of the fact that this was a very dire necessity, Ruth allowed her mother-in-law her place. She did not think it beneath herself to first entreat her mother-in-law's permission. There's where we see the meekness. There's where we see the humility. She didn't just jump and go. She first consulted her mother-in-law. She was willing to listen. If her mother-in-law has said, no, it is not yet time, I can assure you Ruth would have waited. So the first trait we see when we are looking and trying to work with someone from the world, when we are trying to see if perhaps that is the person whom God has chosen for us, we will find a heart that is docile. We will find a heart that is humble. A heart that is willing to listen. A heart that will be completely different from the world. And it is interesting because even though they have not yet accepted the gospel, and even though they are in the world, this very trait makes them stand out. Many times, we said that this in our Bible study earlier this morning, many times we find that people from the world can be more godly than the godly people that are supposed to be. Many times we see that there's more devotion, dedication from those people out there who are truly seeking to serve God than from us who are honored to be able to serve God. But the reason is because their hearts are docile. Their hearts are humble. They are people that are meekly wanting Jesus to lead them. They are not trying to lead Jesus with them. So we see, brethren, how it is that in Ruth, we learn about a humble and docile heart. But then notice how she was honorable and diligent to her committed word. Please go with me to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. Beginning at verse 33. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is His footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your no, no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. Many times this passage is very misunderstood. What we read here, brethren, is exactly what Ruth does. Ruth had told Naomi that she would follow her, that she would embrace her culture, that she would leave everything behind, and that she would indeed live amongst them as they are to live. She was fully committed to her task. But in verse 3, we see the diligence of it. Because the moment that we see Naomi tell Ruth, go, Ruth immediately goes and begins to get to work. And notice the diligence with which she worked. Notice how she wasn't lazy. How she wasn't a person who basically just went and waited to see who would catch her eye. Notice how she, when she began to do something, she fully committed. When you read there in verse 3, and then you read of how the reaper speaks about her, that she worked from morning until the afternoon. How she rested very little. And then when we read more forward in chapter 2 to verse 12, we read how it is that she reaped all the way until night. Here is a woman who was fully committed. So the question is, what oath did she swear to Naomi? Did you catch that? She does not make an oath. She does not swear. Remember that there in chapter 1, verse 14, she's entreating Naomi. That is to say, she's asking Naomi, please don't tell me to leave you. Please don't tell me to leave your side. I will be by your side. I will be like one of your own kind. I will follow the commandments of your God. I will stand with you. And only God will separate us. But she doesn't swear. She doesn't make an oath. She commits herself. She gives her word to her mother-in-law. And immediately, she begins to work. There was no need for Ruth to swear. There was no need for Ruth to swear by God, by Jerusalem, or by any of the points that Christ brought up. And that's what Jesus Christ is teaching here. That if you are an honest man, if you are one who is diligent and commits to His word fully, then there is no need for you to swear. Because your yes is yes and your no is no. If you say you are going to do something, you do it. If you say you are not going to do something, you won't do it. Because you are a righteous man and you are an upright man. You are a person who values their word. You see, Ruth committed to Naomi. And there was no need for her to swear that this would become true. The only time she calls upon the name of the Lord is if she does not comply with her commitment. Notice how she puts it in His hands. She was trusting in His divine providence. She was trusting that He would indeed provide for them. And again, this is a woman from Moab who knew of the gods of Moab, who is now calling upon the God of Israel. A woman who is now invoking the God of Israel. But she's not making an oath. Her word was enough. You see, brethren, this should bring to our mind the example of our very own God. Remember that in Hebrews chapter 6, we see that the only reason God made an oath was to show to the heirs of promise even greater how this gift was. But then it tells us that by two immutable things, and one has to wonder, well, what are those two immutable things? Well, one of them is His word. Because when God speaks, it becomes. In the beginning He said, let there be light. And what happened? A spark flickered? No. There was light. When God speaks, it happens. Notice that in creation, God didn't have the need to swear or make an oath. Because His yes is yes, and His no is no. So we see, brethren, how it is that those people that have this trait, they're people that when they commit, they will follow through. There are people that if they are willing to study with you, they are willing to come to worship with you, they will follow through. They're not people who are only going to tell you that because they want to be with you. They're not people who are going to commit to it simply because they want to be able to hold your hand. They're people who, again, are fully committed to learning who God is, who are willing to know who God is, and are diligent in doing what God has commanded them to do. They won't drag it on. Because their yes is yes, and their no is no. These, we call them men and women of integrity. There are people whose integrity is very important to them. Because as we've heard it said before, my word is my worth. You see, brethren, one of the sadness that we have now as a society worldwide is that people's words are no longer valuable. How sad that we can no longer trust in people who just give us their word. No, we always want a contract signed. That's the level of trust that we have lost between each other as citizens of one another. But as Christians, this shouldn't be the case. As Christians, our yes should be yes. And notice how this begins, because the moment that we are asked, do you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Son of God? What is our answer? Yes, I believe. Well, you're giving your word. If that is your yes and you do believe, well then what is going to happen next? You're going to be diligent in showing that indeed you believe. But when we begin to have a faulty Christianity, when we begin to play between the world and Christianity, notice how James says and compares those kinds of people as the waves of the sea. You can't trust the sea. And what do those people do? I swear it was there. I give you my word. If you were a man or a woman of integrity, you wouldn't have that need because you would already be known as someone who does indeed keep their word. Your actions would say that for you. Notice how in chapter 2, verse 3 of Ruth, it is her actions that are speaking volumes. She committed to taking care of her mother-in-law. She committed to leaving everything behind, and immediately she began to do so. The hard work that she was going through, I encourage you to look into what the gleaning process is if you don't know. If you've never had the privilege of working at a farm, I encourage you to look what that means so that you can see the hard labor that Ruth was putting in. How that hard labor, and then add to it that she was at it all day long so that she could feed her mother-in-law. Because she was still fulfilling and complying with her commitment to her late husband, to whom she had said, I do. So we see, brethren, that two traits so far of those who are possible fertile grounds is that they are docile and humble, but at the same time, they are honorable and diligent. They are people of integrity. But then we see how they are renowned for their genuine and industrious nature. Let's go there back to Ruth chapter 2 before we go to the other passage. Ruth chapter 2. And let's read very briefly verses 5 through 7. Ruth chapter 2. Well, let's just read 6 and 7. So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it is a young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. It's interesting because she went and didn't ask to be given food. She didn't ask for mercy and pity on her so that they can give her some food. You know, brethren, we do well to think about this when people come knocking on a door asking for a handout. Because notice how it is that Ruth here didn't ask to be given something. She asked to be allowed to work. But who is speaking here? That's what I want us to notice. Verse 6 says that it was the servant who was in charge of the reapers. He is speaking on her behalf. He is acknowledging her nature. He not only explains to Boaz how she arrived and why she was allowed to work, but notice how in verse 7, he's the one who took notice. She hasn't stopped. She really wanted to work. She wasn't kidding around, and she has not stopped except for a few small breaks. But she's been at it all day. Her actions were speaking volumes, weren't they? Ruth has only spoken one word so far. And yet, look at how much she's actually teaching us. She wasn't the kind to always want someone to give her something. She was the kind to go and make it happen. She was the type of person who was acknowledged because her care for her mother-in-law was genuine. The veracity with which she was working, her fervent work, the hard work she was putting in, is a testament to how much she loved Naomi, to how much or how committed she was to what she had told Naomi, how committed she was to her late husband, how much she loved her husband. She wasn't looking for another husband. She wasn't looking for someone to take care of her. She wasn't playing the part of the damsel in distress. No, she was the hero in this story. She was getting things done. How many times have we sung that song, "You never spoke him to me"? We should rethink that song because of what we're learning from Ruth. Because now my response would be, you never searched for him. Yes, we are given the responsibility to teach. Yes, we are given the responsibility to preach. But the Bible was written, inspired, and given to all of the world. And this is what the gospel tells us is the power to convert. Not me. We have to be willing to glean these fields. We have to be willing to search the scriptures. Notice how the Bereans gleaned the fields that they were shown by Paul. They didn't just take his word for it. They gleaned them. And now we go to 1 Thessalonians. Notice how what Paul says about the Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning at verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. Notice verse 6. And you became followers. You became followers. He doesn't say we convinced you. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything.
For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come.
Wow. Paul does not give himself any credit, does he? You became followers. You became examples. You turned yourself from idols to God. You were diligent. You were genuine. You were industrious in your faith. The way God speaks these words of this church shows that they weren't sitting around waiting for their faith to just develop. The moment they believed, they acted. They began to develop it. They began to discover what their spiritual gifts were. They began to put them to work. They began to mature. They began to grow. And the speed with which they grew, immediately they became renowned for their genuine and industrious nature. You became examples not only to Macedonia and Achaia, but to everywhere, says Paul. And here's the reality of those words. They are still an example to us today. Their example is still valid today. This was Ruth, brethren. This is the trait of someone who could be a possible godly mate, who does not yet belong to the kingdom of God. They're willing to learn. They're willing to follow, but they don't drag their feet. What they learn, they put into practice immediately. Because their heart's desire is to give God their very best. Again, I am blessed to know, within this congregation and outside of this congregation, members who were not blessed to have been born in the church, but became members late stages of their lives, but are life force to reckon with. Personally, it is a joy to work side by side with them. They glean those fields from day up till day down. They're not wanting to be told or given a handout. No, they go out and get it themselves. Because they believe. Because their yes was yes. And their no to sin in the world is an absolute no. They're fully committed. They have given themselves completely over and do not regret it. We never read of Ruth complaining that the work was too hard or that her mother-in-law was dead weight or that how dare her husband die on her so early. We don't see Ruth complain. One could make the argument she didn't have time to complain because she needed to survive. Her mother-in-law's survival depended on how she used her time wisely. These are the traits. Only some, because believe me, there are so many more. But I leave those fields for you to go and glean. You go and pick your corn. Because believe me, there are so many other traits. But these are the three that I wanted to share with you this morning that I learned myself. A possible godly mate out there in the world will stand out by their humility, their docility. They will not drag their feet. They will be diligent in what they are doing. And they are people of integrity. There are people that they commit and they fulfill what they commit to. So now the question is for you, my friend. Where are you when it comes to this fertile ground? You're here now. That's a good first step. But why aren't you ready or willing to commit to God? Why aren't you ready to give your life over to God? If you have questions, why not ask them? If you have doubts and don't know how to answer them, why not search the answers? Why not reap the spiritual fields? Because you see, you too have to feed your soul if you want to survive. Without God, your soul is hungry. Without God, your soul will die from thirst and hunger. We are inviting you to come glean the fields. We are inviting you to give yourself over to Him. Because tonight we're going to see how this beautiful stranger was under the wings of a well-known God. And Boaz was able to catch it with his keen eyes. We want to be a Boaz to you. We want to help you get to Christ and to be taken care of for all of eternity. But you have to be willing to leave everything behind and fully commit to Him. If there is anyone here this morning who is ready to commit to our Lord through the waters of baptism, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing that hymn of invitation.